Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirae Nashta Prayeshwa Bhadresho Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Rottama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishchuki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 43, title Krishna Kills the Elephant Kuvalya Pida. Text number 32. Hey Nandasuno, hey Rama, Bhavantau, Veerasammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau, Shrutva, Ragnya Hutau, Dridrak Suna. He Nanda Suno, He Rama, Bhavantau Veera Sammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnyahutau Dirukshuna. He Nandasuno He Rama, Bhavantau Veera Sammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnahutau Didrikshuna. He Nandasuno He Rama, Bhavantau Veera Sammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnahutau Didrikshuna. He Nandasuno He Rama, Bhavantau Veera Sammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnahutau Didakshana. He Nandasuno He Rama, Bhavantau Veera Sammatau, Niyuddha Kushalau Shrutva, Ragnahutau Didakshana. Matajis. He Nandasuno He Rama, Veera Sammatau, Ragnahutau Didrikshana. He Nandasuno, O son of Nanda, He Rama, O Ram, Bhavantau, you too, Veera, by heroes, Sammatau, are well respected, Niyuddha, in wrestling, Kushalau, skillful, Shrutva, hearing, Ragna, by the king, Ahutau, called for, Didrakshana, who wanted to see. Translation. by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Chanur said, O son of Nanda, O Ram, you two are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see for himself. No purpose, I will take up till the end of this chapter. Translation: Subjects of the king who try to please him with their thoughts, acts and words are sure to achieve good fortune, but those who fail to do so will suffer the opposite fate. It is well known that the cowherd boys are always joyful as they tend their calves, and that the boys playfully wrestle with each other while grazing their animals in the various forests. There is a small line of purport here. Here Charun explains how the two brothers came to be expert at wrestling. Therefore, let's do what the king wants. Everyone will be pleased with us, for the king embodies all living beings. Hearing this, Lord Krishna, who liked to wrestle and welcome the challenge, replied with words appropriate to the time and place. Lord Krishna said, although forest dwellers, we are also subjects of the Bhoja king. We must gratify his desires, for such behavior will confer upon us the greatest benefit. We are just young boys and should play with those of equal strength. The wrestling match must go on properly so that irreligion does not taint the respectable members of the audience. Chanur said, you aren't really a child or even a young man, and neither is Balram, the strongest of the strong. After all, you playfully killed an elephant who had the strength of 1,000 other elephants. Therefore, you too should fight powerful wrestlers. There is certainly nothing unfair about that. You, O descendant of Rishni, can show your prowess against me, and Balram can fight with Mushtika. Thus ends the purpose of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 43rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Kills the Elephant Kuvalyapeed. Om Agyanta Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakham Vitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupasvarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पथीथानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हे नंद सूनो हे राम, भवन्तो वीर सम्मतौ नियुद्ध कुशलौ श्रुत्वा राज्ञा हुतौ दिदृक्षणा। चानन सेड, ओ सन ऑफ नंद, ओ राम, यू टू आर वेल रिस्पेक्टेड बाय करेजियस मेन एंड आर बोथ स्किलफुल एट रेसलिंग। हैविंग हर्ड ऑफ ए प्रोवेस, द किंग हैज कॉल्ड यू हियर वांटिंग टू सी फॉर हिमसेल्फ। This chapter entitles the description of how Krishna combats the first opponent sent by Kamsa in his home turf, that is the mad elephant. And here, how Krishna kills the elephant in a very graphic way, in a very skillful way, displaying his complete opulence of strength, just to show Kamsa what was in store for future. So firstly, this Kamsa till now had sent all demons from Mathura to Vrindavan. So all the demons were, those who were sent from Mathura to Vrindavan were very fortunate because they left their body in Vrindavan. But these were not that fortunate. Kuvalyapida, coming Chanur Mushtik and Kamsa himself. And therefore, there are the two ways of life in this world. There is the way of law and there is the way of love. There is nothing that will fit anything in between of these. Either there is the love, the path of love, or there is a path of law. Krishna in Vrindavan exhibits his pastimes showing the path of love. But when he leaves Vrindavan, his love is shown in the law that he manifests or that he presents. So in Vrindavan he is magnanimous, he is very personal, he is very intimate. In Mathura and Dwarka he is a benefactor, he is also the giver of justice, and he also is the weeder of adharma. That means he weeds the adharma, uproots the tree of adharma and then weeds it out from the root. That's what his leelas in Mathura and Dwarka will display. So today we'll just see how Chanur, after seeing how Krishna has killed Kuvalyapida, his wrestling ability and propensity has been incited by Krishna. Krishna has skillfully incited Chanur's the spirit of competition, so that Chanur becomes also equally ready to fight Krishna. Had Krishna just coming straight to fight Chanur, Chanur would have thought they were two young boys and there would not be much fun in fighting with them. So Krishna, to keep the spirit of the fight, Krishna incites that same spirit of chivalry, that same intensity of chivalry in Chanur. Because Chanur also has come in a way to reciprocate with the Lord. So Krishna is reciprocating the best possible way by inciting the spirit of his chivalry. Else Chandra would not have achieved much rasa in fighting with Krishna. Because he would thought these were boys and they would take it very lightly. So Krishna wanted him to take very seriously. And therefore Krishna incited that spirit by killing the elephant Kuvalyapit in such a graphic and such a ghastly way. So Chanur was like, has become alert. He is going to give his full energy to Krishna, to fight with Krishna. He is not going to say that this is only for the child. I am going to fight with the child, so I will just reserve my best skills and my best possible ability for the future. He knew that he had to give 100% to Krishna in this fight. So whether or not we approach Krishna with love or law, Krishna wants to get from us 100%. Either we give 100% to love or we give 100% to the law. There is no other way of escaping these two paths, either of these two paths. There is no middle path here. And therefore here Krishna is sufficiently incited Chanur for the challenge. And therefore the first verse will try to see the levels of negotiating with Krishna. There is, even the demons they negotiate with Krishna. Even they have a relationship with Krishna. It's not that the demons are absolutely disconnected with the Lord. In fact, they are very intimately connected with the Lord, but in a very inimical way. Inimically intimate. Right? There is loving intimacy and there is inimical intimacy. In this world, fueled by greed and envy, people are intimate with each other. But out of greed and envy, there is constant absorption, fear, insecure. And therefore, Chanur has become absorbed now. Krishna is preparing Chanur to become fully absorbed in fight with him. And therefore, he is saying that you are very respected by courageous men and very, very skillful. So he is inciting the spirit of challenge to Krishna. And then he is trying to comprehend along with that. Along with the challenge, he is trying to bring in Krishna's acceptance into the fight. That as I am equally challenged by you, I expect you also to fully participate. So he is saying, which principles should you participate on? That the subjects of king should try to please the king. And therefore, if the king has invited you for the fight, so why don't you try to give yourself for the pleasure of the king? Give yourself fully for the pleasure of the king. Engage in that fight. So it's comprehending. After the challenge, the comprehension has come. And then he is referring to the competence of Krishna. That you already are competent. It's not the first time that you are fighting a wrestling match. They have done some research about Krishna's wrestling history in Vrindavan. That Krishna also used to wrestle with the gopas and the coward boys. So he is already speaking about Krishna's past work experience or lila experience. That you have been already... No, you have a good work experience. You are a suitable candidate for engaging in this fight. So he's reminding Krishna that you already have a good experience of wrestling with your coward boys. But I heard that you must have been defeated by your own friends. So, but nevertheless, you have a competency. So let's engage. So he's coaxing Krishna into the fight with a very relational way. And therefore he is saying, so therefore let's do what the king wants. In one sense he is saying that we both are subject to the order of the king. Right? You are also subject to the order and I am also subject to the order. So let's do what the king wants. Comply. So first he is challenging, then he is comprehending, then he is informing of Krishna's competence and then he is saying let's comply. So, this is the way in which Ajivatma also starts his journey of relationship with Krishna, who is inimically intimate with the Lord. First challenges the Lord's existence, then comprehends that there are so many laws that are working, definitely there must be some supreme. But because he sees that the competency of the Lord everywhere, finally agrees to comply with the will of the Lord. And therefore Chanur has undergone a kind of a transformation before the fight only. He has accepted Krishna as great. So therefore, at least he has come on the level of Shantaras. Right? Krishna is great. Awe and reverence has been created. But still inimical. So therefore, now Krishna is going to respond. And how Krishna responds is something very wonderful. Within one shloka, what Krishna is speaking, in fact, this verse is saying, Lord Krishna liked to wrestle and welcome the challenge. Hearing this, Lord Krishna, who liked to wrestle and welcome the challenge, replied with words appropriate to time and place. Krishna is very expert reciprocator. He knows how to reciprocate with Chanur. As per his advances, as per his proposal, Krishna is also making his submission. Krishna says, I do everything by my own choice. It's not that you are inviting me to wrestle, therefore I am fighting with you. I like to wrestle, therefore I will wrestle with you. So Krishna says, I will engage on my terms. I like to wrestle, therefore Krishna says, this is Krishna's preference. So in the reciprocation of the living entity with the Lord, first comes the preference of the Lord. The submission of the living entity doesn't come in the picture before the preference of the Lord. The Lord says, I will fight because I like to wrestle. This is my favorite sport. In fact, one of the pastimes in Vrindavan, just to add a little rasa in this, Vrindavan rasa back into it, many a times Krishna was defeated by Sridhama. And once he was defeated by Subal. But then, just to show to the gopis that he was actually not losing, he said that he is not Subal, he is Abal. I defeated Subal very easily in the wrestling match. And he said to the gopis that Balram is my elder brother, but I definitely can compete with him, but I have already defeated all of the other ones, Sridhama and Subal. So the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani feel that Krishna is very proud, falsely proud of his wrestling skills. So then he said, okay, then let us have a match with Balram. We'll organize a match, a wrestling match with Balramji. And then they arrange in such a way that Srimati Radharani dresses as Balram and she goes to fight with Krishna, wrestle with Krishna. And in the first move only, Balramji, who's Gauri, right? Dauji Gauri, basically. Dauji is Balram, Gauri is Srimati Radharani. She just holds Krishna by the hand, twists her in her grasp, overturns him, and just throws him like her typical, you know, wrestling move. And then he's just thrown a yards away. And then Krishna is thoroughly said, Balramji, I cannot defend it. Definitely he's Dauji. But then later realizes that the hands were not that hard and tough. And the face was very mild and gentle. Doesn't look like Balramji. And then she revealed the form of Gauri. In fact, there's a temple in Govardhan. It's called Gauri Dauji Temple. So Srimati Radharani, who disguised as Balramji. So Krishna is the controller, but is ultimately controlled by the love. The path of love is the path of being, of the path of where Krishna gives in his control to the love of his devotees. And the path of law is where he controls. And that way he reciprocates with the living entities. So both are intimate, but the one which is lovingly intimate brings upon more love and more exchange of those beautiful exchanges of reciprocation. And therefore, here Krishna is first of all preferring to fight. Secondly, he is not only preferring to fight, but he is also prepared. He is saying, I welcome the challenge. And therefore Krishna is prepared, and at the same time Krishna is going to present his proposition. And therefore he is saying in a very nice way, and this presentation is that of pretension. He is pretending now that we are forest dwellers, But we are also subjects of the Bhoja king. We must gratify his desires. So he pretends as if he is a subject of the king. But Krishna knows. In one sense, by preferring, Krishna knows everything. By preparing, Krishna is a controller. He is controlled, he is prepared, he is always in control. He doesn't have to prepare. He is already prepared, he is controller. And thirdly, he is presenting. He is presenting in such a way that he is communicating with his devotees. So first is, Krishna is preferring, that means he is a knower. He knows everything. Secondly, he is a controller. Third, he is a communicator. He is a good communicator in time, place, situation. And thirdly, fourthly, he pretends. But that pretension is nothing but his art of reciprocation. So he is a reciprocator. So these are the four qualities or four features of Krishna. We'll just try to see how we can understand through this various pastimes which are very internally, very, very intimately connected with each other. So Krishna is the knower, then he is the controller, then he is the communicator, and then he is the reciprocator. And he is perfect in everything. So, in fact, Narad Muni was once asked by King Bahulashva that who is Chanur in his previous life? Because everyone has a past and everyone will have a future. So, to understand the present properly, he asks, who is Chanur in his previous life? So Narad Muni says that actually there was a sage named Uthatya. He was a very renowned sage in Amaravati, and he had 5 sons. All these 5 sons were trained as Brahmanas, but leaving their Brahminical occupation, they went to play and learn wrestling in the arena of King Bali's wrestling place. So they left their studies as Brahman and they went to wrestle. So the sage was highly disturbed that these are supposed to be trained as Brahmans and they're playing a wrestling match. They're more attached to wrestling. So he cursed them. He cursed them that in the next life you'll become wrestlers. This life you won't be able to play perfectly, because you are neither Brahman and neither, no, you are a mixed occupation. You are being trained as a Brahman, but you have left that occupation to engage in something which you personally prefer. So therefore, your preference has become greater than the responsibility. So therefore, there are 2 things in life. There is a desire and there is a duty. So if the duty overpowers the desire, then one is said to be acting in the proper varna and ashram. But when the desire overpowers the duty, then one deviates from the standard path of occupation. So therefore, here he is cursed. He is cursed that next life you will become wrestlers and you will associate with demons and become demons. But you will be touched by Krishna and you will be delivered. So there are 5 sons of which Chanur, Mushtik, Kala, and there are some 2 of them whose names I don't remember. But there are 5 of them. They were cursed. And that's how King Bahulashva, we're talking about King Bahulashva. Yesterday, Nandalal Prabhu also nicely mentioned about the concept of prema and aishwarya, how Krishna manifests his aishwarya to increase prema. And the same thing is what Krishna is explaining, or Krishna is reciprocating with his devotees. 3 devotees we'll discuss today, how he is the knower, controller, communicator and reciprocator. That is in the pastimes of King Bahulashva, Shrutadev, the Brahman and Sudama Vipra. All of these have a common thread, how Krishna is relating with their wonderful emotions and desires. So this Krishna is a knower. Shrutadev and Bahulashva, King Bahulashva, both were residents of Mithila. One was a king and one was a subject. And both of them were ardent devotees of Krishna and they worshipped the deities of the Lord in their homes very religiously. Because they worshipped the Lord so religiously at their home and their palaces, Krishna was so inclined that they could not think of going to Dwarka. In one sense, they had Kshetra Sannyas. They had taken that. What is Kshetra Sannyas? Kshetra Sannyas was that which means complete absorption in a particular given occupation of devotion service. And therefore, they are very steadfast in their bhakti. So instead of they going to visit Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna realized, he knew their devotion, and therefore he knew their devotion, he came all the way from Dwarka to Mithila just to meet two of them. This is how Kamsa also wanted to see Krishna, but he sent so many demons. His sadhana bhakti was to send demons every day. Right, and to get report of those demons, how many demons, how they were killed. So he sent his, that was his bhakti, and Krishna reciprocated by coming to Mathura. But in the case of Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, they were nicely engaging in their devotion service, the standard sadhana bhakti, right, lovingly intimate, rather than being inimically intimate. Both of them served, therefore Krishna was drawn to come to visit them, and not only drawn to visit them, but also along with all the great sages, Narad Muni, Vamadev, all of the very highly qualified sages whose darshan was not so easy to obtain. And Krishna, it is explained that he on the way was driving with his chariot and the sages were walking. He said, "Lift. I have a lot of space in my chariot. Do not walk. Because if you walk, it will be too late to reach there. And you can give up your tapasya of simplicity, austerity. This is practical. This is practicalism. Idealism is that your brahmanas, your sages, you will walk austerity. But what is now realism is that we need to reach together. So you can give up your idealism and become practical now." So Krishna is somewhat indicating to the sages that you may have to give up your reputation sometimes, to become unorthodox, unconservative, because this is the art of reciprocation. Krishna does not reciprocate with his devotees in an orthodox way or in a predictable way. Most of the time it is unpredictable and unorthodox. And therefore anyone who tags along with Krishna also becomes unorthodox. So therefore the parampara of devotees of Krishna are there very unorthodox and sometimes very bewildering to the common people. Srila Prabhupada, his own life. He was a sannyasi. First of all, he crossed the oceans. That was a big break away from the orthodox. He went actually to all the Goswamis in Vrindavan saying that he wants blessings, but no one would give the blessings. So he took the blessings on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Blessed the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam went. And along with the Bhagavatam was his servant, Srila Prabhupada. So he said, "You bless the Bhagavatam, don't bless me." This is how actually he had to go to the West. And after going to the West, he was expecting people to become completely devoted, surrendered in terms of varnashram, seeing that sannyasi, they would become sannyasis. Because that was the idea that, you know, need sannyasi preachers. Prabhupada went and then had to arrange. The first thing was that he had to arrange a marriage ceremony of his disciples. Very unorthodox. But Prabhupada said, "This is the need of the hour and there is nothing else that is possible to further the movement." So therefore, the chariot was going so fast that no one could even see Krishna. But how is that everyone developed their loving affection to the Lord when the chariot was moving so fast? It is said that when Krishna was moving away on the chariot, he was glancing at all the residents of the provinces that came on the way. And just by his glance, by his willingness to offer them mercy, they could become proper recipients of Krishna's grace. So Krishna shows in the reciprocation that unless Krishna wants to give, even we can't receive. Therefore Krishna has to first give. And therefore Krishna is the knower, he knew. And then next, Krishna is the controller. Therefore Krishna shows from this episode that while going, though he was going very fast, but he could still give the mercy to Krishna, to all the residents on the way. If he wants to give, he has the power to give. And therefore, he goes on the way and then he meets King Bahulashwa and Shrutadev both. Both of them know that they are both are devotees of Krishna, and they both want Krishna and the sages to come to their places. Now here, both of them thought that Krishna will come to my homes. And Krishna did so, but as Krishna expanded himself both into both places, and the Bhagavatam doesn't mention that the sages also expanded, but it would mean that the sages also expanded, because both of them were there at both places simultaneously. And therefore Krishna expanded into identical forms, and he went to each of their homes, and both of them served the Lord just way, being the knower, being the controller. And then Krishna is in complete charge. He is an expert communicator also. He expanded, he received the offerings as Bahulashwa was offering wonderful gifts and articles and presentations and food, which actually was suitable to receive all of them. Bahulashwa prayed to the Lord, just stay in this place for a little longer, by indicating to the Lord that, you know, you are the resident of Badri Vishal, you stay in Badrika Ashram for the benefit of humanity. And you are the one who actually is peaceful and simple, who likes peaceful, peace and simplicity. So he's a very disguised way of saying, stay at my place. If you can stay in Badrika Ashram for the benefit of humanity, you can stay in Mithila for the benefit of my kingdom also. And you love peace and simplicity, because my kingdom is not opulent like your Dwarka. It's a little peaceful and very simple, but you shall be very happy to stay here. So why did you stay here? And Krishna reciprocates with King Bahulashwa by staying there for longer time. We heard in Kubja past time, Krishna said, I'll come later. It's not that Krishna will reciprocate the time that we expect to reciprocate, but Krishna is a communicator, and he could understand the communication. It's not just important to communicate, it is also equally important to understand communication. So Krishna could get. So Krishna doesn't have to understand, doesn't have the living entity to actually voice it over. Krishna can just understand the heart of a devotee. And therefore he is an expert communicator to Shrutadev. He explained to Shrutadev, as he was glorifying the Lord with choicest prayers, is that he took his hand, held his hand in his hand and said, I have something very special piece of wisdom to share with you. And he said, as you have glorified me, the sages, the brahmanas who are here, I have brought them just for your welfare. They have just come to bless you. So in one sense, Krishna was communicating to Shrutadev that simply worshipping me and making me the object of your glorification is not sufficient to obtain me. He said the blessing is that when you will serve and recognize and worship these brahmanas on an equal level of on my level. And then he says my 400 form of Vishnu is also inferior to that brahman who is completely, who is learned, austere and self-satisfied. Therefore Krishna, he glorifies the brahmanas and says that one who worships this brahmanas on an equal level like me is actually able to worship me and receive my grace. So he gives a piece of advice, he communicates, he finds some insufficiency and immediately fills it up. Therefore he is an expert communicator, and that's how Krishna reciprocates with each of them as a perfect reciprocator as per their tendencies. Though one is a Brahman, one is a king, a Kshatriya, in such a way that he completely fulfills their heart and completely fulfills all their desires, and both of them are escorted to Vaikuntha even after their lives on this planet Earth. So Krishna is a reciprocator, and therefore in the case of Sudama Vipra, the similar thing has happened. The wife of Sudama is very concerned that as a householder Brahmana, as a householder Brahman, we should have some economy. But Sudama was averse to economy, the word economy and comfort. There was not enough food at home. Sudama Vipra's wife, there are four characters here. Sudama Vipra's wife, which is a very important character, we should not forget that. There was Sudama himself, Krishna and Rukmini. In this pastime of reciprocating with Sudama, the pastime of Krishna's blessing Sudama. And then when this, when she coaxes Sudama to go, that Krishna will know your condition. You just go with a small gift, he will understand your condition. Krishna will understand. You just go and just be there, he will do the needful. You don't ask from him. You don't feel like asking, you don't ask from him. And then he goes, meets Krishna, Krishna invites him, Krishna welcomes him, Krishna receives him with great respect, offers him sitting place, the same on his own throne, washes the feet, and Krishna teaches how to respect the Brahmins. And all the queens are offering their whiz fan. And then Krishna knows that Sudama has brought something, but he doesn't want to give. Sudama started with the intention to give to Krishna, and this time he is determined not to give after such a long time. So this is a fight between the devotee and Krishna on the level of intention. A devotee intention to give Krishna but feels that it is not pure. But Krishna sees not the purity of the impurity of the external, but sees the intention and the motivation of the heart, the consciousness. That is pure. But the substance, the form maybe have become impure. So Krishna's intention is to steal, is to take that rice, that puff rice. So Sudama is saying nothing, there is nothing else. No, Krishna, there is something. And Krishna snatches it. And Krishna immediately puts it in his mouth and he tastes it. And Rukmini Devi is there. She is worrying. She has three thoughts happening, coming in her mind simultaneously. What are the first thought? If for one palmful of what Krishna has taken, I will have to give up the entire wealth that I have there for this Brahman. And if he takes anything more, then I have nothing else to give. I will go bankrupt. So therefore she wants to stop Krishna. The second is that if Krishna eats everything, there will be nothing left for us and co-wives and the maidservants. Because I also would like to taste that. And third is that this rice is a little hard, is not good, that is not that good for Krishna. So the three conflicting thoughts going on the same time. And that's why she had to stop. So Krishna is a knower, but he's a controller. He's an expert controller. How in this pastime, Krishna is the controller in the sense that he becomes supremely controlled by his devotee's love. His controllership has become dwarfed by the controller. In this case, the devotee has become controller of Krishna in this mode of reciprocation. The path of law, Krishna is the controller, and the path of love, the devotee is the controller. So here Sudama is dictating in one sense, but now Krishna has to communicate with Sudama, but Sudama is not ready to accept that communication. He said, because Sudama's heart was filled with that, I should not expect anything from Krishna. And he had two things. There was aversion, and there are two levels of renunciation. One is aversion, and the other thing is indifference. Mostly, renunciation on the neophyte level is that of aversion. Avoid, negate, not to possess, not to accept, reject. But the level of renunciation, when it matures, it leads to indifference. It doesn't matter whether you have it or you don't have it, you actually don't possess it in the first instance only. Because that renunciation is already internalized. The external doesn't matter, becomes a fact of the matter. So Sudama's enunciation was that I am averse to comfort and luxury. I will not have it. And therefore Krishna was an expert communicator. He said, I have nothing else to give you. And then Krishna just leads him outside the palace without anything. And this time he thinks, you know, wife said that Krishna will give something. But good Krishna did not give.
So he was justifying his aversion. I would have become proud. I would have become proud and have fallen down. Good he didn't give me. I am so happy Krishna understood my heart. But actually Krishna understood his heart, knowing that he was renounced on the platform of aversion, and that was not good for his bhakti. Why? Because he was still on the path of negating and not accepting everything in the spirit of renunciation. So Krishna did not give Sudama because he is an expert communicator. He understood the heart of Sudama and did not give Sudama also for an external reason, that for the love that Sudama has given to me, I will not be able to reciprocate with that love. So therefore, if I give Sudama something now, it is so insufficient that I will feel embarrassed. Therefore, let him go to his place and find a palace and then feel, okay, Krishna reciprocated, and then, oh, how insufficient, I am not there in the picture to feel that embarrassment. Just like the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions in the purport, that just like for a farmer who has done the yajna and the hard effort of tilling and cultivating the land, the clouds have to reciprocate with the rains. But the clouds feel that for the effort and the labor of the farmer, I cannot match with the amount of magnanimity. Therefore, when the farmer goes to sleep, I will rain in the night. Just so that he will not see how insufficient the reciprocation is. And I will feel the embarrassment. So Krishna is communicating with the heart of his devotee in a very expert way. So that Sudama's false aversion, false renunciation is also cured. At the same time, his face also is saved. That, you know, I could not completely reciprocate with my devotee's love. And that's how, when Sudama goes to the palace and finds the perfect reciprocation of Krishna, then he realizes that Krishna expertly destroyed my false aversion and the false notion that I am a renounced Brahman. Because I am a Brahman who doesn't take anything much more than needed. And that's the standard of a Brahman. In fact, this is how we understand how Krishna finally is reciprocating with Chanur in this way also. And he's saying that we are just young boys and you should play with those of equal strength. And here Krishna is explaining to Chanur that do not try to match our strength with your strength. In one sense, Krishna is saying there should be an equal and a fair play in reciprocation. And in fact, this whole thing also connected with the gambling match where the fair game was not played. But where, in this case, the culprits, the adharma, was perpetrated by King Dhritarashtra, solely who was supposed to be the authority. He kept on inciting again and again. After the Pandavas lost everything, after Yudhishthira Maharaj lost everything, and thereafter Draupadi was insulted, and thereafter again they were rewarded back the kingdom and everything, opulence, Duryodhan called back and said to Dhritarashtra, we must invite them to another last game of dice, the final game of dice. The Pandavas had actually left the palace. And they were called back again. And Dhritarashtra was knowing that the Pandavas have gone in rage and they will come back for revenge. But then they were called back again. Dhritarashtra said, one last match you have to play. The order of the elder was respected by King Yudhishthira. And therefore, even if there was the unfair and the match was not equally played, It was a game of destiny that was played. In fact, a nice mention was made by Govind Prabhu that in our culture, everything was centered around the perfect understanding, and everything would be understood by games and play and like that sort. So in the village or in the culture, in the rural places, they used to play with nature and with nature's instruments. So in the initial years of their life, they would play with games where you are not out of the arena. If you go out of this place, then you are disqualified. So if you touch here, if we touch here, or if you go out of this place, then the rule is that you are disqualified. So many games in the initial years are that about disqualification by rules. So they understand that there are rules of life. If you don't follow rules of life, then you become disqualified. The next level of game is that of discipline and focus. They would play marbles. They have to make sure that they have to hit the marble, or they have to play that stone and then hit the, what do you call that, lagori? Anyone knows? Right? No, goti and that lagori. You put a stack of stones, then you hit. Right? And then there is the cultivation of focus, concentration is involved here while playing. And thirdly, after they graduate and they are married, then they don't play much physical games like this. They play intellectual games. They play dice. Chaukat, right? What do you call it in Hindi? Right? The dice board. That's not gambling. That's just a dice game. But what is the understanding of playing that dice game? That dice game is to realize that everything else said and done, the daiva is also there in the picture. If the daiva is there, then you have to accept the verdict of destiny. Your effort may be there, but destiny also plays an important role. And therefore, Krishna reciprocates with Chanur, with Sudama Vipra, with Bahulashva, Shrutadev, and he says that the equal Sudama, and Sudama is being told by Krishna that your level of renunciation or your level of standard of ideal is the same as mine. You are a perfect Brahman, I am a perfect Kshatriya. Therefore we are equal on the platform. And that's how Krishna makes intimate feeling, gives an intimate, the feeling of intimacy to Sudama. And this is finally the wrestling match finally culminates in killing of these two wrestlers. In the next chapter will be the end of this chapter, in fact this book, and the final killing of Kamsa will conclude in the next chapter. So we just discussed how the living entity first challenges, then comprehends, then understands the competence of the Lord, and then finally complies with the will of the Lord gradually. But Krishna has his way of reciprocating by preference. He knows. And then he prepares. He's prepared. That means he's the controller. He is presented. He presents in such a very nice way that it is very, very understandable. It is very communicative. So Krishna is a communicator. And finally, Krishna is the perfect reciprocator. Though he pretends, but actually he gives the best to his devotee without the devotee even asking for it. And that's how Krishna reciprocates with all of his devotees, non-devotees, either by the path of law or by the path of love. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We're already a little late. Any comments or questions we can take? Yeah.